Well, if you read the paper today, you know that there's a new sexual abuse suit filed against the Spokane Diocese, because I think there's 9 more plaintiffs that are suing Patrick O'Donnell. I don't think that's as big a news as it is in other places in the country, really. I mean, it's the same thing. They're not going to be able to get him criminally for any of these charges. That's why they're suing him. And, of course, it's just piling on the same thing over and over. We know Patrick O'Donnell is no good. But there's something else going on, and I have to be really honest with you. I talked to Mike Fitzsimmons about this the other day, and he brought up a great point. I have to agree with him, that it's going on other places. And I said, well, where? How come we don't hear about it? Well, I think we really do. But I think because the Catholic Church is powerful and it's widespread and it is, you know, let's face it, the Catholic Church is basically the same any place we go in the world. I think most religions cannot say that. They have different sects, they have different followings, and maybe under the same umbrella of the same church, but they're different. They may wear different clothes, they may say different things, they may have different doctrines. And one of those churches that has got a big problem is the Jehovah's Witness. Now, I've got some of the doctrines of the Jehovah's Witness, and before we take this break, I wanted to just go over one thing. You know that some of the church rules about abuse, and here's a feeling from, as they say, the Christian scriptures in the New Testament. 3 bullet points. A person should forgive someone who has hurt or abused them. Individuals can be redeemed. People can change through prayer and spiritual support. Can't argue any of those. They're pretty broad. They're pretty, I think, far-reaching, and sometimes they don't reach anywhere. But the interesting part about this doctrine is if there's abuse in the Jehovah Witness, if you thought the Catholic Church before the recent policy was bad, listen to this. You come forward and you've been abused. Let's say you're 10 years old, you tell your parents. Parents take you to the whoever's in charge. I'm not even sure how we would describe it, priest, minister, elder, whatever. You bring forward your child. He was abused by this person, a member of your church. The policy of the Jehovah's Witness is this. It has to be corroborated by 2 people. Okay, that doesn't seem to be too difficult. That means if, as most abuse and most rapes, there's only 2 people involved, the victim and the suspect. Well, that means if the victim comes forward and the suspect doesn't say, I did it, then the Jehovah's Witness, their administration, their church, treats the person accused as innocent. End of story. They have another policy, too. If the state doesn't require the clergy to notify law enforcement, they do not. Good moral lessons going on here, isn't there? I wonder if they teach us in Sunday school, just so the kids know where they stand. But we're going to talk about that. We've got Bill Bowden. He used to be an elder with Jehovah's Witness. He's done a lot of research and investigation, just what's going on. One more thing. I want to get this out so we know what's coming. On Sunday, Doug Clark and the Spokesman Review is going to write an article about the suit against KXLY, Mike Fitzsimmons, and myself. Of course, we can't talk about it because, well, why? Because it's now a legal issue. It's a matter for the court. But yet, the Spokesman Review wants to do some kind of commentary. You think it'll be objective? Says so much for the Spokesman Review, doesn't it? We're going to be right back with Bill Bowden from the Jehovah's Witness, ex-elder from the Jehovah's Witness. Listen to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
You have the right to remain silent.
Except on this show.
Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back to the show. We are going to be talking about another church. And I think, you know, I was talking to Mike at lunch the other day, and, you know, I think we have been unfair in not covering some of these other churches, but, you know, they're just not in the news. And I can't figure out why. I think one reason is because, you know, the church, the Catholic Church, is so widespread, so well-known. Everywhere you look, you can see a Catholic Church. I think that's one reason. I'm not sure in some of these churches if I could actually identify or find one of these churches, but we are going to seek it out. We're not going to stop with Jehovah's Witness. We're going to go ahead and seek out. Now, we have Bill Bowen. He's going to be with us right in a second, but I want to tell everybody that at 4 o'clock, we are going to have a family and the victim from a fellow Washington, a 1996 case involving the Jehovah's Witness that I think will be fairly shocking. We're going to deal with this and listen to the victim and the family, what they've been through. And with that, I'm going to welcome Bill Bowen to the show.
Hello, this is Bill. I'm glad to be here.
Well, thanks, Bill. Now, you used to be an elder with the Jehovah's Witness Church, correct?
Yes, I served as 20 years.
So why don't you kind of take us through first, you know, your experience with the church, what made you leave the church, and what have you done since?
As I said, I'm a second-generation Jehovah's Witness. I was involved with Jehovah's Witnesses for about 43 years. In the year 2000, I came across information that indicated that a fellow elder was a child molester in my local congregation. And I worked for 10 months within the church to try to have this exposed so that the members of the church could be protected. And basically, I met with opposition from every standpoint with regard to the church as far as exposing what this man had confessed to. So in the end, my last conversation was with Watchtower Legal on December the 8th of the year 2000, in which I gave them information that indicated that this man was molesting a child currently, and the church told me to leave it in God's hands and to basically not report the matter. So at that point, I felt like I had to go public and report him to the police and basically expose a policy and a practice within the church that protects child molesters and exposes other children to danger.
You know, Bill, I've read this. I've got some of the doctrines of the Jehovah's Witness. And if the Jehovah's Witness is actually printing and actually advocating what this information indicates, they're actually disgusting by their own regulations of how they report and don't report abuse. And I think leaving it up to God is something that, you know, and you were an elder with the church. I am not somebody that is very learned about the church, but I do remember one thing, and I think everybody would agree with this, and all religions do. God gave man the power of free will, correct?
Correct.
So then we can't rely on God to solve our problems, can we?
Well, as a matter of fact, when I wrote my letter of resignation, I said three times, we have to do what is morally and ethically right in the interest of protecting children. And that was the basis of my resignation as an elder in the church. That letter went ignored with the exception that they accepted my resignation and had nothing more to say about it.
Now, Jehovah's Witness, are they bound by some kind of code? Now, are they ministers? Are they reverends? What are they called?
Persons that qualify within the church eventually qualify to become elders. All Jehovah's Witnesses consider themselves ministers at the point of baptism. So if you ask a Jehovah's Witness, are you a minister, if they're baptized, they'll say yes. But now an elder is a person that's charged with oversight in the congregation and who oversees matters relating to that.
So, Bill, do we have any seminary that's involved with this title?
Well, the appointment of elder is based on the recommendation of elders who are currently there in the church, and it's authorized by the Home Office in Brooklyn, New York, once they send up the recommendation.
And do they have a man in charge? I mean, the Catholic Church has a pope. Is there anybody in charge of this?
Yes, Jehovah's Witnesses have a governing body which comprises 11 members at the present. It has been as high as 17. These 11 men are believed to have a heavenly calling, and they have absolute and direct authority from God. Everything they say has to be accepted without question, which includes their policy on child molestation.
So they've got like a website to God. I mean, they're emailing him.
Yes.
I mean, it sounds ridiculous. That's why I make fun of it.
As a matter of fact, all mankind. I think you'll find it quite interesting that in the deposition that was taken on August the 5th of last year regarding Erica Rodriguez's case, they make the comment that the governing body oversees spiritual, physical, and emotional welfare of all persons associated with Jehovah's Witnesses, as well as for all mankind in general. So they believe they have charge of everyone on the face of the earth.
Sounds like somebody's on a power trip. Bill, these 11 individuals that run the Jehovah's Witness Church, which I suspect is worldwide?
Yes.
Okay, what qualifications do they have? What seminary, what colleges?
Most of these men have just basically risen up through the ranks within the church through their own educational programs. They By and large, none of them have college educations.
So basically, we're talking about on-the-job training ministers.
That's exactly
that
right.
Are ruling that are ruling the world of Jehovah's Witness.
They rule over you. They rule everybody.
They don't rule over me.
Well, if you don't obey them, then they say God will kill you.
Well, I'll take my chances.
Well, I'm not trying to be facetious. Their belief is that they're the only authority of God on this earth, and everyone will answer to them. At the end of time, everyone who's not doing what they say will be killed by God. That's their belief at Armageddon.
Yeah. Sounds feasible. Bill, you know, when I read these doctrines, how do people that... let's face one thing. The Catholic Church, they go to a seminary, they have the same devout standards that all other priests do. They have certain obligations, certain tests, certain things, certain stages. There is a educated hierarchy that in not only general education, but in the church. Now, it seems like the Jehovah's Witness, it sounds like you know, in some regards, and don't take this wrong, I don't want anybody to take this wrong, but it's almost like the inmates are running the prison.
Well, now, I need to clarify that. Every 4 years, the church conducts what they call an elder school, in which they call their elders in to meetings all across, or actually around the world, for a day and a half seminar on procedures and policies of the church. So at this point, they're advised on how they are to operate within the church, and they have to acquiesce. Any indecision has to acquiesce to the home office in Brooklyn, New York, which is called their service department and our legal departments.
Does that mean if they kind of deviate from doctrine or they haven't memorized the right thing, then their name's turned in and they're in trouble?
Oh, yeah. You can immediately lose your eldership. When that person at the legal department told me to wait upon Jehovah by disobeying his direction, then I immediately would have been disqualified as an elder. So I just resigned because I saw the handwriting on the wall. I couldn't continue to serve as an elder and protect a child molester.
Well, let's go back to the basic reason, okay? We've set the stage. We have no standards of education. And I think it's important that anybody that is a leader needs a basic education that matures them and enlightens them in even subjects they don't want to study, makes a well-rounded person. 4 years of college is required to be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be an accountant, and in a lot of regards, to be a priest. First, you go to 4 years of college, then you go to a seminary. I think that's important, and that's not present. But the doctrines here basically say that they are going to protect all people that abuse other people, even people in the congregation abusing each other or each other's children, or elders or anybody in the church and the staff abusing any other children. What is the motivation to protect child abusers?
Well, you have to understand, in the Jehovah's Witness theology, they teach that 1 John 5:19 says the whole world is lying in the power of the wicked one, which basically means the world as we know it, the governments, everyone is controlled ultimately by Satan, which include the media, which is you, Mark. So they believe that all members must therefore only associate and have interaction with fellow Jehovah's Witnesses who are considered the chosen ones of God's, of this earth. So when you put that in the context of child abuse, if a person as a member of the church has a child that's abused, then they have to go to the elders to get the answers. Why would you go to Satan's world when you have the elders who are directed by God who are designed to oversee such matters as wrongdoing?
You know, it sounds like smoke and mirrors, mumbo-jumbo, sounds like the Wizard of Oz. But you know, what's really interesting when I hear that? David Koresh and all of his followers died in a fiery death for about one-tenth of the radical views that I just heard. I hope they don't build a farm and say they're not paying taxes and have a couple of M14s on their property.
Well, they already got a farm. They got about 5,000 acres in upstate New York.
Well, they better not upset the FBI. Bill, hang on there. We got more to go on this. You want to call in? Do so now. We set the stage. Some of it's up to you. You listen to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
You have the right to remain silent.
Except on this show.
Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back to the show. We're talking about the Jehovah's Witnesses. It doesn't sound too good. In fact, it sounds a lot worse than anything I heard in the Catholic Church. At least in the Catholic Church, they're realizing that something was done wrong. I will say that. There may be cover-ups, and there may be movement to try to hide people, try to get them help. Maybe they believe, I don't care. It's all wrong, but this sounds almost wrong from the very onset, that there's no possible way they're going to acknowledge anything. My guest is Bill Bowen. He's a former Jehovah's Witness elder from Benton, Kentucky. Bill, you know, when you look at the situation that's going on in the Catholic Church, and then all I have to do is listen to the first 10 minutes I talk to you, it sounds like the Jehovah's Witness aren't going to recognize anybody abused a child, no matter how bad it is.
Well, when I started my little organization called Silent Lambs, it was as a measure to try to reach out to victims of abuse. If no one had come to me, I would have discontinued the organization and not done anything more. I have had over 6,000 Jehovah's Witness victims of abuse come to me and talk about being molested as children. There's over 1,000 stories posted on my website. These victims are not lying. And yet the organization has taken the stance that they've done nothing wrong. Last year they excommunicated 6 people that simply spoke to the media and said it happened to them or that there was a problem in the church. So their stance is, not only have they done nothing wrong, but they will, in the biblical context, stone anybody to death that says otherwise.
You know, Bill, I mean, you sound like a smart guy. How'd you get mixed up with this kind of ideology?
Well, I was born and raised as Jehovah's Witness from the moment of my birth, a second generation. So I never knew anything else. It was a way of life for me that I firmly believed in and supported. And on the side of fairness, you've got to understand there's many good people in the religion who are Jehovah's Witnesses that are required to follow these tenets. Now, they're trying to raise their kids. They're trying to be good people and be honest. But they have to follow this policy directed by the governing body. If they do not, then they lose their family, their friends, and their life.
Well, they don't lose their family and their friends, because if they lost them over an issue of they're going to go out public because somebody's raping a child, they were never their family and friends to begin with.
Well, within the organization, it's all conditional on the directives of the church. When I came forward, my parents no longer spoke to me anymore. I lost 40 family members in the organization and hundreds of friends that I had known all my life within the Jehovah's Witness community. Now I'm viewed as dead. If my mother walked into the same room that I was, she would not even acknowledge my existence. That's the way they treat people that don't follow what they tell them to do.
Well, you know, Bill, do you see it the way I see it? I couldn't tolerate 30 seconds of that attitude. It's fanatical mumbo-jumbo. It belongs in some circus, some sideshow, along with the bearded lady and the tattooed man.
Well, you know, I have to understand that the purpose of my coming forward on abuse is not to try to put Jehovah's Witnesses out of business or just to try to
put
the religion.
But why not? It sounds like they don't have a place in religion. It's not religion. It's fanaticism.
Well, if people aren't in one religion, just like you mentioned, there's probably still followers of David Koresh. There's probably still guys following Jim Jones, even as we speak.
But they're not as fanatical as what you've described. That's what's odd about it.
Well,
let me ask you another way to ask this question, Bill. You know, I do see that if people weren't born in a religion, they would have certainly questioned it when they're 19 or 20 or 15. All of a sudden, they're confronted with these issues where they've already become somewhat worldly, or at least able to make their own decisions. Do you think that you could have gone into Jehovah's Witness at 18 years old and not questioned the reasoning behind the church?
I think if I'd have been approached at 18 to become a Jehovah's Witness as a young person, who knows? You know, when you first become acquainted with Jehovah's Witnesses, they're very nice people, and they talk to you about being a brother, you know, like a member of their family, and that you have the hope of a paradise earth. It's a very convincing ideology to follow. So I don't know. You know, perhaps I would have joined up with it, but now with my life's experience in the last 2 years, what I have seen that they're willing to do and willing to be untruthful about to the media as well as to their own members, no. I have no question in my mind I couldn't be part of this because it's corrupt.
It's corrupt and it's criminal. Bill, when we look at what the Catholic Church has been involved in, I don't see any incidents where you have parishioners violating parishioners or parishioners absolutely knowing of abuse that they can absolutely state it occurred and be silent because the church says so. But yet in the Jehovah's Witness, that's exactly what they're supposed to do, isn't it?
Well, as we've shown time and again through documentary programs and otherwise, victims come forward and say that when they went to their elders, they were told to be silent. And how they were silenced is they were told that they had to produce two eyewitnesses when the molester denied that he molested them. And many times this was 4, 5, 6-year-old children, and no one has an eyewitness when you're in that type of situation.
Well, you know, women and children, unfortunately, in this society, maybe all societies, virtually have no power. When it comes down to believing, you have a system like the Jehovah's Witness and a lot of organizations, just to say organizations, where you have men in charge and you have men that make the rules. When women and children come forward, just like in a family unit, their word is discounted. Their accusations are discounted because it isn't convenient to the total good of the organization or the family, because men are deciding this. I think this is unfortunate, but we're not only talking about women, are we? We're talking about men, and we're talking about grown women that have come forward that do have somewhat of a voice, and still they're silenced?
Absolutely. When an adult comes forward, I can cite for you an example that happened in a nearby area. A 35-year-old woman come forward and accused her father, who was an elder and presiding overseer, of raping her from age 11 to 14. She finally summoned the courage to come forth and say this man did it to her. When she, of course, went to the elders, they told her she did not have an eyewitness. He denied it, so she was told if she did not remain silent about it, that she would be charged with slander and excommunicated from the church.
Well, Bill, I'm going to go way out on a limb here that I'd say if anybody knows this about their church and the Jehovah's Witness, and they say that they support that attitude, that they are part and parcel of the actual, you know, crime after the fact. I mean, let's face it, if you know something happened, you got to go forward. They don't go forward unless the state requires it. I bet you they don't do then either, do they, Bill?
Well, no, you got to take into consideration they have a legal department, and they require elders to call the legal department whenever there's an issue.
Yeah, well, you know, Bill, I want you to stick with us. We're going to have the Rodriguez family on, the victims in Othello, Washington in 1996. You can hang with us?
Sure.
Okay, hang in there. We're going to be right back. Listen to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXOY.
You have the right to remain silent.
Except on this show.
Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back to the show. We had a caller on the break that wanted to ask a question. Fred wanted to know, are we going to hear the other side of the story? You absolutely will. We will notify and contact and hope we can get somebody that represents the Jehovah's Witness Church, whether it's an elder or somebody from the national headquarters. We certainly hope we can do that. If they want to come on, they're going to have to answer some pretty difficult questions, because absent of all victims, if there never was a victim, their doctrine is something that should be in question. And, of course, we've got lots of those. Bill Bowen is still my guest. He's hanging on. He is a former Jehovah's Witness elder from Benton, Kentucky, started Silence Lambs, and he had 6,000 victims that have come forward. He thought that he would basically close up shop if he didn't get any, and 6,000 came forward. And on the phone also is Erica. She was a victim in Othello, Washington. It's an adjudicated case. It involved the Jehovah's Witness Church. And Erica, welcome to the show.
Thank you.
I know you're not feeling good, and I appreciate you being on the show. You know, I don't want to ask any question that you feel uncomfortable, because I think we have to show you the respect that you have been the victim, and you've been through a lot. So why don't you tell us what you would like to tell us and how you would like to say it, what occurred, what happened, and basically how you feel about the church.
I was born into the religion. My parents have been Jehovah's Witnesses for 25 years, and I was molested from the age of 4 until I was 11 by Manuel Bellies, who is in jail right now. And the problem is that, well, my dad was an elder and my mom a regular pioneer, which is, we were a very respectable spiritual family within the organization. And Manuel was a ministerial servant and then became an elder soon after we moved to Sacramento. And all the while, it was pretty much happening almost every day kind of thing. And he would... he was convicted of 2 counts of child rape and child molestation because he would penetrate his fingers inside of me, and that constitutes as rape.
Erica, how did the church and the congregation, let's deal with the church, the people that run your church, how did they deal with this and how did they react to it?
I was always told that I was going to be condemned by God and not to tell anybody by manual, and that I was going to lose, I was going to be considered like the black sheep of the family kind of thing. And when something occurred when I was 8 and he was, some little girl, my cousin actually came in saying that manual tried to kiss her, everybody turned her back on everybody turned their back on her and took Manuel's side, and that to me was proof that, you know, I couldn't say anything. When I was 16, I finally decided, you know, I couldn't take it anymore. So I told my brother, and in turn, it all came out in the organization. And I thought I was going to get their support, and instead, they pretty much told me that if I said anything, that I was going to be condemned by God, and that it's something that should be left in God's hands.
Well, you know, Erica, when I hear stuff like this, I want to strangle somebody with my own hands. Left in the hands of God, but yet these men are taking these actions on their own, or are they being directed by God? You know, I heard Bill Bowen talk about that these elders are basically the 11 elders that are in charge of the church are talking to God on a regular basis. Are they then conveying messages to these elders that they should be molesting children?
Something's happening and something needs to change. And if that's it, well, you know, that's kind of a scary thought. But the fact is that, you know, I know personally from, you know, what happened to me that, you know, they told me I was going to be condemned by God, and that, you know, Manuel, if he was in such a high position as he is, then obviously God had forgiven him, and he's doing so good right now. So, you know, drop it, you know. Even an elder at my sentencing actually had the nerve to say that he, and this is a quote, he said, "I've known both of these two, and that really makes me sad to see both of them here in court because it shouldn't be necessary. They have a judicial committee, and they think that their judicial committee is above the law. And, you know, as long as they have a little judicial committee, and if you don't have two eyewitnesses, then, you know, pretty much you're, you know, out of luck."
Well, you know, that kind of determination, and if we were going to really be, I completely brutally honest, I was on a police department, and if we needed a corroborating witness for a rape or some kind of molestation, we would be out of luck because we probably prosecute almost no one.
Absolutely, because there is no witnesses, and that's the whole point of coming forward and being so public about, you know, what happened to me and what happened to other, you know, children. And what Bill Bowen is doing is just absolutely awesome, because, you know, the word needs to get out that this needs to change, because who molests somebody in front of somebody else? You know, it just doesn't happen. A child molester never molests somebody in public. That's ridiculous, and it needs to change. And according to all the elders that spoke at my sentencing, you know, they all got up and said that I should just get over it, pretty much. You know, and their words were just so, just like that. I should get over it. Manuel's a good man. You know, what he did in the past is in the past, and just get on with it. Get on with life.
Let me interject here. Members of law enforcement in 5 countries that we've done documentaries about Jehovah's Witnesses have all said that they, witnesses, obstructed justice by not reporting or telling them that they would not consider testimony unless there was 2 eyewitnesses, nor would they share information with law enforcement. Those countries are Australia, the United Kingdom, Scotland, Canada, and the United States.
So why don't we prosecute these people, these good Christians?
10 months.
Well, they told me that it was going to give God a bad name if I came forward and said that Manuel did this to me, that it would give the organization and Jehovah a bad name. Therefore, we should keep it within the organization. That's their main reason for not prosecuting, you know, child molesters. You know, forget the victim and what they're feeling and the survivor of the abuse. It's all about their image. And, you know, we don't want to stain, you know, God's image. So, you know, let children continue to get molested. That's the message they're giving me and other people out there, that if they're not going to prosecute them, it's because of their image, and the image is more important than the victims.
Erica, what happened when your dad found out about this?
My dad was removed as an elder because he said it was up to me what I wanted to do, and I wanted to go to the police. And my dear friend is a cop, and he told me, you know, if you don't do anything about it, then he's going to continue molesting children. And I just couldn't live with that. And my dad said, my dad couldn't live with that fact either. So the district overseer told my dad that, you know, pretty much that because of his daughter, me, he was ruining Jehovah's name, so he got fellowship as an elder. And my dad pretty much had your reaction that he wanted to strangle, you know, the people who had reacted that way, you know?
Well, I kind of wished he would have. I wish they would have went through them like a hot knife through butter. I think that's exactly what they deserved. And you know the one thing that I don't like about religion, the thing that really turns my stomach, is there's two ways that they make people do what they want or make them follow certain things that seem unnatural or immoral. You're going to hell or guilt.
Mm-hmm.
Both things I don't think should be laid on an adult, let alone a child.
Well, I felt so guilty when I was told I was going to be condemned by God. And, you know, I believed it because that's all I ever knew, that I went as far as trying to commit suicide. And they just destroyed my life. I was so down in the gutter. I just thought God hated me and I ruined God's image. But at the same time, I couldn't live with the fact that this man was going to continue to molest other children. So, because I knew there was two other victims, and I just couldn't live with the fact that it wasn't going to stop with me. I knew that, because once a molester, always a molester. So, but they made me feel so down where I actually tried to kill myself, you know? And which is why I'm here now, and I took them to jail, and I'll go through another trial if I have to, because it just has to stop.
Yeah, it does, Erica. I appreciate you being on the show. Just stick with us. We're going to take a break. We're going to come back more with Bill Bowen and more with Erica. She's been a victim of this. She knows firsthand. If you want to take your calls, they were most willing to answer your questions. You're listening to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
You have the right to remain silent.
Except on this show.
Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back to the show. You know what we're talking about, Jehovah's Witness. Is it bad? It's terrible. If there was no abuse victims, their policy is just a breeding ground for some corruption and crime to happen. And it did. We have one of the victims, Erica, on. She's talking to us about her experience, which none of it has been good. Bill Bowen, a former Jehovah's Witness elder from Benton, Kentucky, is with us, and he's talking about his group's Silent Lambs, and he's got 6,000 members of abused people that have been abused in the Jehovah's Witness, and that's a lot. I think, Bill, tell me, is that more than the Catholic Church has collectively of their victims? Nobody keeps track of the exact amount, but just in your group, 6,000.
Well, if you want to hear a number far more incriminating than that, Jehovah's Witnesses maintain a database of their child molesters, 80% of which have never saw the light of a police investigation. In that database, according to sources that have told me, there's 23,720 child molesters in their database, and they refuse to share these guys' criminal record with proper law enforcement, and these people go on to molest more children, and they continue to update.
You know something, Bill and Erica, I have a feeling that with all this coming out, we are going to, in the near future, mix church and state. I think that the church, not all churches, but certainly large organizations, need to be monitored by the state, because they can't seem to be responsible and moral all by themselves. Even if they don't, you know, if they don't violate anybody or they don't condone it, their rules and regulations are just absolutely ridiculous. They're medieval is what they are. Basically, the church can do no wrong.
The First Amendment was designed to protect the rights of the individual, not to protect the right of religious organizations to take away civil rights. The First Amendment has been twisted to these religious philosophies that hurt victims like Erica and children. And they use the First Amendment to hide behind it to get away with these crimes.
Well, you know, another thing I think we should do is I think all churches should be taxed. I think they should be under the same taxation as any corporation, because that's what they've become. Let's go to the phones. Erica, are you still with us? Okay, we've got a couple of phone calls. Let's go to Mary. You're on the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
Hi, Bill. Hi, Erica. This is Mary in Spokane.
Hello.
Mary.
And I just have a couple things to say, Mark. I was a JW for 32 years, came in when I was 22 years old. And it's so subtle that you have no idea you're being mind controlled. And actually, Steve Hassan, who is an exit counseling person, says that if you're being mind controlled, how would you know it?
Well, Mary, let's be fair, though. If somebody, from just what I heard today, that basically if you don't come to the elder and they solve your problem, you can't go anywhere else, because you know, God will send you to hell and kill you for your separation, I guess, from your church. If I heard that, I'd be walking out the door. That's psycho.
Well, I know it sounds psycho when you're out of it, but when you're in it, first of all, most witnesses don't know about all this abuse. Your individual witness.
Oh, I don't mean the abuse, Mary. I mean the doctrine.
The doctrine?
That we have uneducated elders that go to no seminary, that are basically on-the-job training, that are dictating how I live my life and who my friends are and how I deal with crimes inside the church?
Well, they have answers for all that. I mean, you know, it's like, well, they're appointed by God, and they have God's spirit.
And how do we prove that? And, you know, there's a lot of psychos out there like Manson that says that he was driven by God, too.
Well, you got a point.
I don't know how you know, it's like...
Millions of people are falling for it.
Yeah, Erica, you're listening to Mary. Is this... I know you grew up in the religion, and, you know, it was something that you didn't think about, so I think that is the only condition that I can understand an intelligent person actually, you know, going along with this, because then when it comes time to actually have something that is damaging, you look to them for help, right or wrong.
The problem is that being a witness, you really can't ask questions. I mean, you're told something, and you pretty much just have to go with it, and if you ask questions, then you're doubting God, so... I think that's the thing. I mean, when you're in it, then you're like, well, you really can't start asking questions because immediately you'll either be disfellowshipped or, you know.
Mary, I think we're going to have to break off. We can't listen to the baby at the same time. I'm sorry, Mary. Bill and Erica, you know, when I listen to all this, you know, we're about to go to war with a country that has a lot of the same attitudes. It's a dictatorship, and if you go against the government, you're going to die. If you go against Allah, you're going to die. It's just fear and guilt. You're looking over your shoulder, and you're scared all the time. Is that the way it is when you're a JW, after you realize what's going on?
That's the way I felt. It's the fear. And plus, you know, I totally believe that, you know, it was from God. You know, anything that was said by them, that they were being directed by God. So, you know, it's like saying no to God, and you're not going to do that. You know, and that's the way I felt. And then plus you have the whole, you're going to die and you'll never live either in a paradise or hell or heaven. You're just going to be dead forever and you'll never see your family again. And that's like a huge threat right there, you know, and Armageddon, you'll never survive it. And it's scary. You know, even growing up as a child, it was really scary thinking that, you know, Armageddon's going to come and you're going to see people get just, well, destroyed. The idea of Armageddon is scary. And
you know, it just reminds me of, you know, the Bible Belt and the Depression, when, you know, these screaming ministers were going and putting the fear of God in people just to get a following, and they were trying to put the fear in uneducated people that maybe had, you know, some of them didn't even know how to read and write. Maybe I can understand that a little bit. But where do these elders get their divine right to talk to God? And, you know, if we had any normal person out here on the street that says, I talk to God, they'd be in an insane asylum pretty quick or on some kind of brain drug. Wouldn't they?
You would think.
You would think. Bill, I mean, come on, you were an elder. Did you talk to God a lot?
Well, I prayed every day.
No, did you talk to God where he answered?
No, he never said a word to me.
Yeah, well, then I can talk to God, too.
Yeah, well, you know...
That makes me an elder. That means I can run a church.
Oh, that's what this country is based on.
That's basically what we're talking about, isn't it?
Over 5,000 across this country that revolve around everything from nudity to worship of Satan. And all these people claim some type of divine inspiration to justify their existence, and they have people that follow them in that quest.
Bill, let's see what Mike has to say about this. Mike, you're on the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
Hi, Mark. Thanks.
You bet.
Hey, Bill, I'm one of the leaders of a SNAP group here, a Survivors Network Abused by Priests, and we have about, anywhere, you know, from 30 to 50 people that kind of work with us in our group. We started in October. When did you start your group?
Silent Lamb started in March of the year 2001.
Wow, and you've got 6,000 victims already?
Yes.
Well, I think, Mike, you know what's interesting, and we've talked a lot about the Catholic Church, but I think what's interesting, when we see the comparison now between the Jehovah's Witness doctrine and the Catholic Church, the Catholic Church has never said it's right. They actually recognized it was wrong in some regards and tried to do things about it, whether it's transfer a priest or take him out of certain areas. I mean, the Catholic Church has never said it's right. The Jehovah's Witness said, we're not going to say that abusing and raping somebody is right, but you got to keep it in-house and you forgive and you just be silent, period.
Well, but we're dealing with the same issue of shame and guilt. Most of our victims still have not come forward. I mean, I have people that call me every week. In fact, I had two that called me today that are just reluctant to come forward because their name would be tarnished in their minds or the minds of their friends or their family or the church if they came forward and said they were abused. So you deal with that all the time, I'm sure.
Yes, through Silent Lambs, there's only 1,000 stories posted on the website, so that roughly means 1 out of 6 is brave enough to come forward and tell their story. That leaves 5 others that prefer to remain silent and just maybe have a personal conversation or an email they ask to remain confidential.
Right.
So it relates to child abuse itself. People are at various stages of healing. And
Can you tell me how many victims you have here or survivors you have here in Spokane?
I would have to recall off the top of my head, in the Spokane area, I would estimate probably around 12.
Wow.
If we covered the state of Washington, we'd approach somewhere between 75 to 100.
Right.
Incredible.
Okay, so there's many times that more that have not come forward.
Yes.
Well, I think we're going to have the longer the distance, everybody, we're going to have less victims that are willing to go through, I think, the ridicule. And, you know, Erica's an example of what she had to go through at a very young age, and it's terrible. Mike, we got to take a break. Thanks a lot.
Okay,
Erica and
you.
Bill, hang on with me. Erica, when we come back, I want to see how your life is now. Let's stop with the negative. Let's see how you've been able to move on and who's helped you do that. We're going to be right back. Listen to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
You have the right to remain silent. Except on this show. Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back. We're talking about the Jehovah's Witness and some of the things that they've done to victims. We've covered the Catholic Church. Now we have Bill Bowen. He's a former Jehovah's Witness elder from Benton, Kentucky, who has Silent Lambs, who have got 6,000 members of abused people in the Jehovah's Witness Church since 2001. That's huge. We also have Erica, who has been a victim. And Erica, before we go to the phones, before the break, I asked or told you that I was going to ask this question. How's your life now? Have you got on with life? Have you just still felt the scars from this experience?
I don't think the scars will ever go away. Mm-hmm. It's the recurring nightmares are always there. But, you know, I have an 11-month-old baby. So, you know, right now my mission in life is just to, you know, of course, do well in my career. But, you know, also this is very important to me, you know, to just be an advocate speaker for children who have been abused, you know, and to have them change their policy because, you know, it's something that's always going to be with me. It's always going to stick with me. I'll always have these nightmares, and it shouldn't happen to anybody else. If I could prevent that from happening to one more person, then it's worth it.
Well, I agree with you wholeheartedly. Erica, have you sued the Jehovah's Witness Church?
Actually, we have a lawsuit going right now, and Jeff Anderson, he's the lawyer, and he's absolutely awesome. He is such a caring lawyer, and his mission as well is not, it's not about the money, it's about you change your policy because you're hurting children. Right now, it's set for, I believe, August, there's a trial set for the civil.
I don't think it'll ever go to trial. I think you'll get a nice settlement, and they'll have to make some kind of statement, but, you know, it's interesting. A lot of people say it's not about the money, and I think money is one of the only ways that you can hurt organizations like this.
Yeah.
I think that you deserve to have some kind of payback for the pain that you have already gone through and the pain that you're going through, simply because your life should be a little easier for the pain that you've already experienced. I think you shouldn't feel guilty about that. Let's go to the phones and see what some of our callers have to say. Ken, you're on the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
Yes, first of all, I'd like to say that I just give my condolences to those people that have suffered in any of this way that not only happens among the Catholicism, Catholic Church, and Jehovah's Witnesses, but it's ill-conceivable to think that it doesn't happen even among the Amish or the Mennonites or any religious groups. sin is no respecter of persons, and as long as there is men and man is going to be alive, there's going to be sin. If I can make a couple of points, one is that in 1981, one of the biggest things that hit the news was a church in Collinsville, Oklahoma. Mark, I don't know if you're familiar with this, but this hit national news of one of the first churches that was sued for $390,000 because they had a member who was involved in a sexual, immoral situation with the mayor in town. And they'd asked this woman to repent of this sin, which she did not, etc., which then they had to follow the procedures given in the scripture for disfellowshipping her. Of course, then the government steps in and it becomes a great big lawsuit, and now all of a sudden every church becomes very, very fearing of the fact to try to do anything with its members that do fall into sin or is found out to be with sin. But there are procedures in the scriptures of which that if they do believe the scriptures, they should abide by. I cannot answer for Jehovah's Witnesses. I myself am an evangelist for 25 years, and I've had to deal with sin in the church. In dealing with sin in the church, our sole authority is based upon the Word of God and what God says. Now, in the Jehovah's Witness, there's something there I think that is very shocking, and that is they defy even the Word of God when it tells us that if an elder, by the testimony of two or three, is in sin and refuses to sever himself from that sin, he is to be taken before all and rebuked. Now, we can't just by the wave of the hand condemn all of Christianity just because one religious group or Catholicism, which is bigger than any group, refuses to practice the very scripture that they say they hold to.
Well, the part I'm stuck on is we reevaluate the meaning of the Constitution that was written in 1775, but yet we don't reevaluate the words that were written in 1 BC or 400 AD or 1200 AD. When it's convenient, it seems like religious groups just go back to the very rawest form when the world was, almost primitive in today's standards, and then they just cite these scriptures as if they fit into today's society, and they do not.
Well, yes, they do.
What was sin in 1 AD is not considered sin by a society now. I'm not saying everything, but I'm saying, come on, let's be absolutely, candid about this. Are all the Ten Commandments followed by every single person in its starkest form?
Not by every person, absolutely not.
How about anybody?
That's not a valid question. The question should every single person follow the Ten Commandments?
That's up to every person, not a bunch of people that are uneducated without any formal education to counsel themselves, let alone other people called the congregation.
That's why we believe in education.
Yeah. Right, Ken, thanks for the call. We got to move on. Let's go to Pat. You're on the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
Hi.
Hi, Pat.
I'm a friend of Bill and Erica both. Hi, Erica.
Hi.
Bill. I was at the trial, and I also participated in the march in New York against the Watchtower. And I did a press conference here in Oregon preliminary to that march to alert the public to it. As a result, what I've experienced is that my neighbors who are Jehovah's Witnesses and the presiding overseer of the congregation I used to belong to, they're shunning me now. They've told me I've brought reproach on God, on his name, and on his organization because of what I'm saying and doing publicly.
Well, Pat, you know something? You're a lucky person, because those kind of people you do not want behind you. You want them in front. It's usually called the enemy.
I agree completely.
Yeah, it's crazy. I mean, this fanaticism belongs in Nazi Germany. It belongs in Manson's cell. I mean, that's where we hear this stuff.
Yeah.
We don't hear this from David Koresh.
What I would encourage all Jehovah's Witnesses to understand is when it comes to protecting children, there is no reproach on God.
How about other women, Bill?
Every congregation of Jehovah's Witnesses.
How about their women?
Put children as a priority. Whatever they believe is a religion, there'll be a better religion as a result.
Well, certainly, but they're not going to change because they're not... I would tend to believe that they are so ingrained in what they do, they're not going to budge. It's almost like they're just too stubborn to see the truth. But,
well, in the March Watchtower of this year, 2003, they actually go on a limb, I shouldn't say a limb, and they say anyone on the radio or television that says anything negative about their organization is an agent of Satan, and any judge that rules against them will be punished by God.
You know, it so kind of sounds like I'd rather be there than with the Jehovah's Witness.
Actually, putting on the airwaves right now. They're calling you an agent of Satan.
Oh, good, 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 good. I mean, I love every psycho to call me names. I spent 20 years having people call me names and agents of psycho because I was taking them to jail. I also met God several times and Jesus and all of his apostles. I met people that have lived six lives and have lived on other planets. So I'm with you on this one. And it's in a good company that I'd like to be where I am versus where they are.
Amen to that.
Yeah. Pat, thanks a lot for the call. Let's go to Mike. You're on the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
Hello?
Mike, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
You got it, buddy.
Well, I've been listening. I actually came in after the last, or just before the last break, and so I didn't catch the whole show, but I've heard a lot of things that aren't true, and I'm suspecting that you're getting a lot of misinformation.
Like, what's not true? Are you a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah, I am.
Okay, what's not true? Do they believe you need two people to corroborate that there's been an abuse, one of which is the person that committed it?
It doesn't have to be the person who committed it, but that's actually a scriptural principle set out by Jesus.
Well, Jesus wasn't around when they were abusing children. They didn't even have a word for it then. So let's be honest. There's nothing in the Bible that talks about pedophilia, and Jesus needs to approve it. And tell me the last time that there was a rape or an act of pedophilia that wasn't immediately reported, that there was a witness that came forward later.
I'm sorry, I don't understand your question. You
when was the last time somebody witnessed an act of sex with a child that didn't immediately either report it or become part of the crime? Because, you know, you are one or the other. You understand that? You're either an accessory or you're obstructing justice, or an accessory after the fact, or you're a witness.
Well, actually, you have to take that up with the state of Washington. There are laws regarding that here, and actually every state deals with that differently. But
Mike, no state deals with that different. If a woman comes up or a child comes forward and says, that man, pointing to him, says, he raped me.
Sure.
What do you do? Go, meh. He said you didn't. Sorry, little girl. Go away. Why don't you tell Erica that's on the air right now that your church handled her situation properly?
Well, I didn't hear her situation.
Well, she was molested from age 4 to 11 by an elder, and she went forward, and the church told her to be silent. Is that the church you want to be part of?
No, actually, I don't agree that happened. But
that's your church's policy. I'm reading it right here. I am reading it right here. In fact, your church says that only God can condemn, and you should forgive.
Well, I actually disagree with you, Mark.
Mike, you know something? We have two Jehovah's Witnesses on this air right now. One's a victim, one's an advocate that discovered an abuse and went forward and was excommunicated from the church and started his own group and got 6,000 victims since 2001. They both fought like you did before they witnessed it or were a victim.
No, actually, I know the policy, and I've dealt with it myself, and I know that what they're saying is not true. So you can choose to believe it.
Then tell me the policy, Mike.
The policy, well, starting from where?
Okay, you want me to read it to you?
Okay, go ahead.
Okay. A person should forgive someone who has hurt or abused them. Individuals can be redeemed. People can change through prayer and spiritual support.
What are you reading out of?
I'm reading out a website from the Jehovah's Witness.
You're reading the official website of Jehovah's Witnesses?
Yeah, is this the one blessed by God? I mean, come on, let's get serious. Now you want...
I'm trying to be serious.
Okay, then if you're a Jehovah's Witness and you know it, then you tell me this.
Okay.
Is there necessary for the person that commits the rape or the abuse to admit it before the church will disclose anything?
No.
Oh, it won't. Then give me an example. I want a name, and I want a place where it happened, and I want a court case where he was indicted and prosecuted.
Well, how am I supposed to give you all that?
Why don't you just give me an instance where we can go search it out then? Do you personally know of an instance where the church turned on one of their own on the word of a girl or a child that said, I've been raped or abused, absent of that person admitting it? Yes or no?
No, I do not know of a case.
Then I guess the policy stands up and you have no evidence to refute it, do you?
Oh, actually, I don't believe that that's the policy, because I know the policy and the policy...
Mike, do you have an elder at your church, or are you an elder?
I am an elder.
Okay.
I know the policy.
Would you like to bring the policy down here to the radio station next week on Tuesday? We will do a two-hour show with you, the elder. Bring all your policies, all your horsepower, all the doctrine, and the 11 people, the names of the 11 people that run your church that have no formal education, no seminary background, that speak to God on a regular basis.
See, that's all misinformation.
Really? Why is it misinformation? Do they not talk to God?
Well, do people, when people pray, are they talking to God?
Well, they also say they get direction, too.
No, we do not receive any kind of verbal direction from God.
So why are they any more special than you, then?
Who said they were?
They did.
No, they didn't.
Oh, then why are they in charge?
Who?
The 11 people that are running your worldwide church.
You see, that's the problem with listening to people who really are not Jehovah's Witnesses.
I don't, you know something? I don't want to be anywhere close to anybody that agrees that they will sit on information that a child or a woman has been abused and say that we will keep this inside, we will keep it secret, and if you say anything to anybody, we will excommunicate you, we will shun you, and you will die at God's hands.
Then see, that is not a policy that we have. That's what I'm trying to tell you.
What, we got to take a break, Mike, but you can stay on if you'd like. But one last question before we do take this break.
Fire away.
Does the Jehovah's Witness say that anybody in the media that speaks against them is basically the devil's tool?
Anybody in the media that speaks against them?
Yeah.
You know...
Are we Satan's instruments? Am I Satan's instrument right now? Answer the question, Mike. Your church has no problem. It seems you do.
No, actually, I don't.
Okay, am I Satan's instrument right now?
Well, let's see. And I guess it would depend on what, in what sense.
Well, I just don't believe you should victimize children and women, do you?
No, that's right. We don't.
Well, then maybe you should go to your church and ask for their exact policy, because you'll be shunned and excommunicated if you stand up to them and say, no, we should report all abuses to the police. Do you think they should?
And see, that's misinformation.
Do you think they should, Mike, do you think they should report all abuses when a victim comes forward and says, I've been raped by one of your people? Should they go to the police?
I think that there are circumstances where the state of Washington does...
Answer the question, Mike. Do you think your church, as a moral group of people, should report a rape? Yes or no?
Yes, I do.
Okay. Well, if you go to your church, you won't be in that church very long. We're going to be right back. Listen to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXLY.
You have the right to remain silent. Except on this show. Mark Furman is on your radio now.
Welcome back to the show. Erica, Bill, we've just got less than 2 minutes. I wanted to get something from both of you while we've just got a little bit of time. I want to thank you both for being on. You've been great. Erica, I'm sorry for what happened to you. And Bill, I'm actually sorry for what happened to you. 20 years investment, and same with you, Erica. You had a long time investment. When we listen to Mike, is this a denial inside of the church that you're hearing over and over?
Yep, absolutely. An elder went to my trial at the sentence. He said whatever his problems were, he seemed to come to grips with them in 1990 onward. And to us, we don't see a problem. And that pretty much sums it up. They do not see a problem. They do not care. And as long as their image isn't ruined, absolutely fine, and they'd rather be in denial about it than to just face the facts and change their policy.
Yeah, it's crazy. Bill, is this all about keeping the reputation of the church and a money flow going in, donations?
Absolutely, and the best way I could answer your question is in two trials held in the last 3 years, Jehovah's Witnesses saw fit in New Hampshire as well as in Erica's trial to send over 25 Jehovah's Witnesses as character references on behalf of the child molester. They said they wanted him to babysit their children. So these people are guided by the Home Office, and they have no will of their own.
Well, you know what I'm going to say, and I thank both of you, but I'm going to say one thing. Anybody that would support a child molester, a child abuser, a child rapist, when Erica is up there telling about her 7 years being a victim of one man, that person is definitely going to hell. We got to go. It is Friday. I will see you on Monday. You've been listening to the Mark Furman Show on 920 KXOY.